And here we go with our after party of this week's college basketball bonanza. Nicholas Hodel, Dominic Sturm, Dom Contini with you. And if you want to listen to our main show from this past Sunday, you know what to do. Check that out right now or whenever the show is done on whatever podcast platform you're on right now. And there's a few points I wanted to get to that we didn't quite have time for within our hour slot on our main show on Sunday. And one of them was really discussing in detail Marquette and its six-game winning streak, which has been ultra-impressive. When they started the Big East season, lost to Xavier, Connecticut, and UConn, all by single digits, all really solid games that Marquette put together. They found their footing against Providence when it was an absolute smacking of a game at home. The away win to Georgetown, the home win against DePaul. And then they had this Seton Hall, Villanova, Xavier, Seton Hall, Providence, Villanova, UConn stretch they're going to get through. They're 3-for-3 with Seton Hall, Villanova, and Xavier all beaten. And the Villanova game is on the road. Marquette, 38th in KenPom. And there is no reason why this Marquette team can't do big things going forward.
No, they were 85th after that double overtime loss to Creighton. I don't know what Shaka Smart said to this Eagles team, but it's worked. They've been unbelievable. They've been good on offense, and they've also been good on defense. I mean, you look at the amount of points that they've allowed in four out of their six wins, 56 to Providence, 64 to Georgetown, and you have 76 and 72 in wins over DePaul and Seton Hall, which that's not great marks, but they're able to get the job done. But 54 points to Villanova and then 64 points to Xavier. So the defense is playing really well. That's their strong suit. They're 23rd in defensive efficiency. They run a very fast-paced offense, but on defense, they make you take your time. And they really don't allow good looks. So that it's very impressive what they've been able to do. They've already beaten Providence and Villanova, the two teams in front of them in the Big East standings. And they have those two teams later next Saturday. And then on Wednesday, they get Providence first and then Villanova after the game against Seton Hall. So they really have a chance to almost, I mean, we're a month and a half out, but control their own destiny in the Big East. Because even if they split those games, they're still in a really good spot. But if they win one of those, all of a sudden they hold tiebreaker in terms of seeding, which could help them out.
Yeah, I mean, I like this Marquette team a lot. I've been pretty high on them ever since their upset victory early on in the season against Illinois at home. This Marquette team's interesting. They are on a six-game winning streak now. They've shown they can win. Let's take a look at Marquette's history, because Shaka Smart just got there. And if you look at head coach prior, Steve was Wojciechowski. Let's go with that. He was never really successful besides in 2016. He was 20-13. But anyway, Shaka Smart, the way he's been able to turn his Marquette team around, especially when he first got there right after a COVID year, it's remarkable. And he's not really even doing it with any player like a Jimmy Butler or big name players Marquette has had in the past. He's had a very solid team from top to bottom, and they've been able to play team basketball. And like Dom said, there's going to be a point soon where they're going to be able to control their own destiny.
Yeah, and this Marquette team, they're currently in 8th seed in the bracket matrix. Now, that is as of Sunday. And the way the trends have been as we look at it, I mean, they're probably going to be probably just get that little extra bump because of the win against Xavier. And they may still have a lot of quality games left to go. I mean, there's no reason why this Marquette team can't either stay that 8 line or get perhaps even higher. I mean, this team has been doing some very extraordinary things over the course of this entire month of January. And they've competed really hard in a conference that, I mean, what Providence has been doing, what Philadelphia's been doing, really good stuff. And then you get this mid-pack that's just really crowded. And we all kind of figured that that might be the case. And we were expecting UConn to stand out amongst the pack. Well, that hasn't happened quite yet. They're still right in that mid-pack. Philadelphia's a good team. They got two conference losses. Providence, the team that has the one conference loss. It's another conference like the Big 12, like the ACC. It's kind of beating each other up a little bit.
Yeah, the Big East, that's what happens when you have a lot of good teams, because you can lose on any given night, but you could also, if you're good enough, you can win on any given night. The difference is the Big East does have a couple of teams that aren't very good, and Butler and Georgetown, and then, I mean, DePaul and St. John's have really struggled this year, so they're not doing themselves any favor. But at the top, there's a lot of really good teams, like you just mentioned. So it's going to be up to the Big East. We'll see if they can sneak in those all seven of those other teams because the Big East is loaded.
Yeah, and then you also picked Marquette against Seton Hall to kind of keep the ball rolling, whereas myself and Contini did not. After that, Providence, Villanova, and Connecticut, those three games, and I think we've all kind of aligned ourselves here, that's going to be a big stretch to see what they can do before the schedule gets a whole lot easier with Creighton once, and then everyone else is just struggling. I mean, Butler twice, Georgetown, DePaul, St. John's. It's going to be one of those interesting periods where, I mean, if you lose in that stretch, you're kind of putting yourself in a bit of trouble. And so getting through this part of the schedule pretty much relatively unscathed or in a superior position is going to be so crucial to this Marquette team. And I think that, at least for you, Mr. Contini, you look at the schedule Marquette's done, there's no reason why they can't keep this up.
Mm-hmm. Like I just said, like, they're so close to the point where they're going to be controlling their own destiny. And like Nick just said, they're winnable games and an easier half of their schedule. So we may be seeing a Golden Eagles team that will be crowned Big East champion at the end of this year.
Yeah, and imagine that. Shaka Smart inserting himself, putting on this really good winning streak. And let's not discount some of the wins they got in the non-conference either. Kansas State on the road was a really good win. Illinois at home. Mm-hmm. We'll see where that win falls, but I would expect that win becomes stronger and stronger as teams go on. West Virginia on a neutral floor is also a quality win for this team as well. So it's not just the Big East play that's getting them in a strong position. They have some wins to hang their hat on as well in the non-conference. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be really big for this team. And before we move on within this program, Providence, Philadelphia, and UConn, the next three games after Seton Hall, which we are divided on from that particular game. Within the three games they have left to close out this stretch that is so crucial to Marquette and getting quality wins, the Providence game on Saturday, January 29, then starting February out with Villanova and UConn, how many games do you think Marquette will be able to win out of those three?
Two.
Yeah, I think two. And you slip up in one of them, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could very much see that. Home against Villanova, of course, Villanova is always going to be a challenge. At UConn will be a really good game on Tuesday, February 8th. That'll be some must-watch television there. Away against Providence is going to be a solid game. I expect Marquette to take that game based on what they did at home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's one of those instances to where you beat one team by 30, then they beat you up by 20 that we've seen with Villanova Creighton already this year. I don't think this is like that. I think Marquette has what it takes to really ensure that they beat Providence a second time. Because you know Providence is going to come out incredibly motivated for that game at home, knowing what happened to them before. They're going to want to come out and give Marquette a pretty good look, and I just don't think that is going to end up happening there. I mean, it'll be a good game, don't get me wrong, but I think Marquette will probably just have a bit much of an advantage. And when they get two, that's a big one. And if they get the Seton Hall game as well, like you're predicting, Dong, that's such a big mark for this team going forward. I mean, you're looking at a team that can really rise up the seed lines in a big way.
Yeah, Seton Hall playing on Saturday, turning around playing on Monday, and then playing again on Wednesday, I think is a huge thing. So if you see Marquette, especially the way that they love to play, getting out and running, seventh fastest in terms of offensive tempo and the average length of possession, I think they could really run it by Seton Hall. I think it's a very bad matchup for Seton Hall, considering that they'd play two games earlier that week.
I really didn't even think about that. That's actually a really good point.
Yeah, I gotta look. I put myself in a bit of a hole here with this bad week, and I gotta find my way back up to the top, Nick.
Playing three games in a matter of, I believe, would be 5 or 6 days. Like, that's tough.
Then again, that went into my consideration picking the Aztecs over Boise, and that didn't go well. But yeah. Boise only put up 42 points, so, like, you know, oh well.
Yeah, let's keep this train rolling by focusing on what's happening out west. And we're not talking about the Pac-12 and the Conference of Cannibalization. We're talking about quality teams in the Mountain West and the West Coast Conference. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are quality teams down in the Pac-12. But what's happening in the Mountain West and the West Coast Conference could very well end up being historic. The Mountain West, I mean, this conference, and I'm sure you can remember the days, Dominic, when this conference was routinely churning out three, four teams into the NCAA tournament. I mean, in recent years, that has been slowed somewhat. But once again, this conference is in a position to potentially take four into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, like, when this conference was at its peak, putting out some of those good teams, some of those teams aren't good anymore. And New Mexico, of course, is one of them. They are 0-6 in Mountain West play.
Ouch.
And they've put up some good fights at Colorado State and at Wyoming this past week, but they're not great. And UNLV, they're 11-8 to start the year. They're 3-3 in conference play. Those are just two examples. But San Diego State has controlled this conference over the last couple of years, along with Utah State. Utah State, they're not looking great. But the top four in this conference are great teams. Boise State, like we just mentioned, and like I mentioned on the other episode that we just recorded live on BlazerRadioOnline.com, Boise State won 5 games in 11 days. 4 of them were on the road. They deserve all the credit in the world right now. They have the 9th best defense, according to Ken Pom. San Diego State, of course, has the 3rd, but Boise State's offense is a little bit better than the Aztecs. And then Wyoming and Colorado State, more offensive-driven teams. Wyoming's 34th in adjusted offense. They are undefeated 4-0 in conference play. And then Colorado State, they are 5-1 in conference play, 15-1 on the year. Their one loss at San Diego State before they had to go on COVID pause and couldn't practice for a week. And that was a 30-point loss, but they've rebounded well from that game. They're 4 great teams, and none of them have bad losses. And I think that's what really stands out. They're all looking really well. They're all good in the net and in KenPom, so that means that they are good teams and they're not just teams with good records. But they're going to have to avoid the traps like you've talked about in the Mountain West, because there are a lot of bad teams in this conference. Air Force, they're a little bit better this year, 239th, but they're not good. San Jose State, also a little bit better, 284th. But when you also have New Mexico, that's 0-6, 7-12 on the year. UNLV, that's 11-8. Nevada, which has just been an utter disappointment this year, at 105th. You can't lose to these teams and expect to be an at-large team. And we kind of saw that last year. Boise State and Colorado State suffered some tough losses late in the year. The Mountain West schedule, it's brutal. Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder than a lot of people realize. When you go to Colorado State, Utah State, Air Force, Nevada, these are all teams that play at high elevation. And when you do the elevation adjustment, it really takes a toll on your body and adjusting after games, recovering from injuries. It really eats up on you, and that's why you see some of these teams start to lose a little bit more later in the year. And I don't think there's going to be 4 teams from the Mountain West. I'm not sure which team won't get in, but I'd assume that either Boise State, Wyoming, or San Diego State are going to drop a few too many games and they don't get in. I think Colorado State's in a very good spot, though.
Yeah, 27th in net as of recording. It's a really solid conference. I mean, this conference, they were getting at least 3 teams in for 5 out of 6 tournaments from 2010 to 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you how strong this conference can be. And they are, once again, right back up there. I mean, 7th in the KenPom Conference would be the highest mark since 2013 if they were to get that job done. And it's one of those situations to where it's the potential has been lurking, and it's here. You have 2 of the top 10 defenses in the country on Boise State and San Diego State with some questionable offenses. We saw that this weekend with both those teams. I mean, it was a defensive slobber knocker, as I like to say. And then Wyoming and Colorado State are kind of the opposite. Solid offense, their defense can use a little bit of work. And this Wyoming team in particular, it's been one that I really have not been sure on. I mean, they don't have a big quality win to hang their hat on. I mean, Utah State on the road is holding up for right now. It's holding up. You have a little more relay with that. And as of recording, that is a quad one game. But we'll see where Utah State really falls in line there. I mean, I just have not seen Wyoming enough to really get my fingerprint on this team. And we'll see. I mean, just based off the sort of teams we're talking about here, that might be the one I say might drop those games. But I mean, they are really doing a good job of making sure they win the games they need to win. And that really is the whole point. You know, they'll make sure you can get those games accomplished at the right time.
Tuesday, Wyoming at Boise.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big game.
Yeah, that might be the biggest opportunity Wyoming has to really make a statement to the nation and themselves in the committee.
Yeah, because as of right now, they do not play San Diego State. They were supposed to play them this past week, but San Diego State was on their COVID pod, so they don't have that matchup.
They could get rescheduled, though, so who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. They do have two games against Colorado State as well, but they only played Boise one time in the regular season. So, I mean, that game could be the team that gets the number one seed, and you want to be able to get that double bye, which I believe in the Mountain West, that's only the top three seeds get the double bye.
Yeah,
maybe it's four.
That's a big deal to try to avoid as many landmines as possible. And I'm going to continue here for this. I look at some of these different teams. I mean, yes, I may not have seen Wyoming as much. You know, some of the metrics may not be on board, but Boise State's sitting there with a quad four loss right now.
Yeah, I mean, like this conference is really weird because there isn't a Kawhi Leonard. There isn't that big name player. I mean, we love our David Roddy's. We love our Justin Beams. But Boise State, like, they're sitting there with a quad four loss, but they're at the top of this conference. And like they just said, we are very excited for this game against Miami. And I think you're going to show a lot about this Boise State team. I expect the Broncos to actually beat Miami. So I think there's still a lot to learn about this Broncos team. That quad four loss, I think, will get forgotten about after they pick up a couple more signature wins down the stretch. But, this conference is at its all-time high right now. So.
Yeah, and that Boise State, it was at home against Cal State Bakersfield, I believe, is the quad four loss.
Yeah.
They've lost 46-39 against Cal State Bakersfield.
Mm.
I mean that might be one that you may not scrub off too easily, but nonetheless, it is there. It is on the resume. But since they lost that game, the game against St. Louis back on November 30, they've won every game. And they are really streaking at the absolute right time and just being able to get things done. They are one of those teams that is going to be paid attention to going forward as a team that, yeah, you better keep an eye on, because if you don't, they're going to sneak under you in a big, big way. I mean, Colorado State's never one of those teams that, I mean, you kind of mentioned, Don, like, they're there, and they deserve to be there. I mean, the metrics pretty much light them. Ooh, the light comes on. We get some light in here. That's amazing. But, I mean, their only loss is to San Diego State, and that was again, they got boat raced.
Yeah. It was a fun game to watch. I'll say that.
For you, yes.
Yes. this past game on Saturday was not a fun game to watch. So, Colorado State, great team. They have the dynamic duo of Isaiah Stevens and David Roddy. They've also got a couple other talented players around them that can make shots, because Roddy and Stevens are both fantastic passers. It's not just those two guys. And, I mean, there's four teams. You could really make a legitimate argument for all of them to be the best team in the conference right now, because, I mean, San Diego State's only loss is to Boise, and they're undefeated. Colorado State's only loss is to San Diego State, and their only loss is to Boise. And then Boise and Wyoming are undefeated. So, really good conference. I mean, I trust the Aztecs because they have done it before, like Colorado State, Boise State, Wyoming. They haven't, but those two teams are certainly much better than the Aztecs offensively. So,
and I'll just get a couple questions out of the way before we transition into the next conference we're going to discuss here. The first one that I have is, of the teams that are not among these top four, Colorado State, Wyoming, Boise State, and San Diego State, is there a particular team that you look at and you say, that team might become a trap, and a legitimate one at that, that might be trouble down the line?
Utah State, just solely because of Justin Bean.
And I would also say Nevada, just because of Justin Sherfield, I forget their other really good guard. I'll find his name. But, yeah, I mean, Utah State, it's more than Justin Bean, but he is obviously their best player. But also Nevada, I mean, they came into the season with pretty high expectations. They've absolutely not lived up to them. Also, Desmond Cambridge is the other really good guard. But it's been a struggle for Nevada, but if they get it rolling, they could absolutely get rolling. And Fresno State, Orlando Robinson, he's going to be first team All Mountain West. He is fantastic. I talked about him on our Mountain West preview during our like high major preview show. You can, of course, go back and listen to that, and you can hear me be completely wrong about Nevada. And Boise State. I was very wrong on Boise State. So Nevada, Utah State, Fresno State, they really aren't bad answers. UNLV is a very talented team. Bryce Hamilton's also potentially first team All Mountain West. And then New Mexico, I mean, they've been really close with a couple other teams. So especially when you go to the Pit, Pitt's a really hard place to play.
And I've been there. That can be an electric atmosphere, even at 50%.
Oh, absolutely.
That is an amazing atmosphere.
It's one of the best venues
in
all of
college
basketball.
Yeah, get more NCAA tournament games in that building, please.
Facts.
You don't got to go to NBA arenas, NCAA.
They're going to Viejas again this year, so that'll be cool. Wish I could be there. And then, I mean, Air Force and San Jose State. Those are the two dangerous ones because those are the ones that can really ruin a resume. But you should really win those games.
Yeah, you really should. And I was going to say Fresno State. But you look at the analytical profile, and they're 59th in KenPom as we're sitting here at the desk recording. 42nd in adjusted defensive efficiency, 96th in offense. They have the profile to be able to pull off an upset or two. Not the greatest shooting team of all time, but they're pretty solid defensively as well. That could be a problem.
Yeah, they slow you down. They make you earn every single basket. And that is so dangerous for an opposing team, especially when they go on the road.
And the last point we're going to get to in this after party episode, and probably the biggest point, and maybe the most historic point, the West Coast Conference. I mean, this is a conference that, you know, it does get at-large bids almost on an annual basis with outside of Gonzaga, but it's never been like this, where it's Gonzaga, BYU, St. Mary's, and San Francisco. They're all up there in this top four. And yes, San Diego's doing some things within its conference.
Shout out to the Toreros, baby.
Yeah, they're doing some things.
They're 4-2, but they're not good.
Yeah, I mean they're doing some things, but the problem is their wins have come against Pepperdine, Portland, Loyola Marymount, and Pacific. I mean, they have St. Mary's twice, San Francisco, Santa Clara twice.
Just get COVID when you play Gonzaga.
Ooh.
Or not.
Yeah, or not, because there is no Gonzaga on this schedule for San Diego.
Yeah, lucky.
Yeah, so there you go with that. But, I mean, we know what Gonzaga is capable of. Number one, KenPom. It's an incredible team with fantastic players, and they have proven that if you're not on your defensive A game, you're going to get lit up and lit up big time. Three consecutive games, over 110 points.
And the two games before that, over 90.
Yeah.
Against NAU in Northern Alabama.
Yeah, and then NAU. and then Texas Tech slowed them down before that.
Yeah.
So they really want to get it out on these last few opponents. But San Francisco, one of the other teams in the mix here, home to 78. Mm-hmm. And San Francisco is a team that it's not like they're an extremely slow team either.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was solid enough for them to hold below 80 and what they hadn't been to since the Texas Tech game. But, I mean, San Francisco's just one of these teams. I mean, St. Mary's is also in the hunt. BYU, of course, is in the hunt. The team we were really expecting to be in this hunt. But St. Mary's and San Francisco have really been decent little surprises. I mean, St. Mary's jumped up 12 spots in KenPom this past Saturday when they boat raced Loyola Marymount. And that was an absolute boat race. And they've actually now had the number 10 adjusted defensive efficiency in the country, the best in this conference. All four of these teams have good wins. St. Mary's just one of them, but they had three wins in quad two, which is good to see. No losses in the bottom two quads for either of these teams, which is also terrific. It does seem like this conference is conforming to what we've kind of been talking about as what this conference needs to have happen to get all four bids. You know, have the top four teams be the top four teams. Like, no murkiness. And Santa Clara, you know, they kind of can beat that team when they want, but I'm not really seeing it.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying it all year. The Dons, they are legit. I love me some Jamari Buya. This week is going to be beautiful for West Coast Conference with St. Mary's taking on the Dons Thursday, January 27th. That game will be art of college basketball. So I'm looking forward to that one. And then, I mean, the next three games for the Dons are St. Mary's, Santa Clara, and BYU. And they just said, yeah, Santa Clara is not in any conversation with these four teams. But it's definitely a landmine that can happen. And it's a team that I think could knock off the Dons.
Yeah, they're the, I guess you could say tier three because Gonzaga's in their own tier.
Mm-hmm.
They're the clear team. They're in their own tier because they're not with those top four teams. But they're certainly better than USD, Loyola Marymount, Portland, Pepperdine, and Pacific. When I look at it, USF has some really good wins that I don't think get a lot of credit. They beat Davidson very early in this year. They beat Nevada, who, like I said, has been disappointed. They beat Towson, who all of a sudden is putting up a really good showing.
Top 100 in KenPom.
Yeah, they're 92nd in the Colonial Athletic. They're 14-6. They've been cruising. They also have a win over UAB, Conference USA.
That's a team that might be a Trinity upset pick come March if they get to the tournament.
They could be another at-large team, too. Fresno State, great win there. They unfortunately lost by one to Grand Canyon, and then, of course, they did beat Arizona State barely because Arizona State loves to lose. And then they couldn't pull it off against Loyola Chicago. They couldn't pull it off against BYU, and they couldn't pull it off against Gonzaga. So they're going to have to find these good conference wins, but they have the really, really good non-conference schedule. So USF been super impressive. BYU also been super impressive. I think they'll probably end up getting three bids, but they could absolutely get four too.
And I really believe that the game on Thursday between San Francisco and St. Mary's might determine it in a way. I think the committee could really look at this particular game right here, and if both these teams are in the bubble, it might be a simple head-to-head decision, despite what all the metrics would say about these two teams.
Yeah.
This is going to be a crucial, crucial game. I mean, I don't really know who it's more important for, because I think this game could end up being a tiebreaker if both these teams are that close to each other come Selection Sunday. Like, it really could come down to what happens on Thursday. But I'm curious to see what you guys have to say, whether you think this game is important for either San Francisco or St. Mary's.
I think it's important for both of them.
Yeah, I'll take the easy way out here.
I said this game is gonna mean a lot for the West Coast Conference. I think if it's close, like if it's like a last second shot, and maybe may not come down to what they just said and how it might be a head to head kind of scenario. It definitely depends on what happens after this game, but this game certainly holds a lot of weight for both of these teams.
Yeah, and I mean, like, also just looking at St. Mary's' resume, win over Notre Dame on a neutral floor, win over Oregon by 12 on a neutral floor. That's looking better as the days come by. And then a loss to Wisconsin, it's a very good loss.
A win against Missouri State.
Yep, they lost to Colorado State, which was a big opportunity for them. They did lose at SDSU, but like you mentioned, the win over Missouri State and a close loss to BYU. They did beat Santa Clara, which is good. You want to be able to beat Santa Clara. I think Santa Clara might be the deciding factor of whether or not this conference gets four bids or not. Because I really don't see these teams losing to USD. I don't. But yeah. Santa Clara can absolutely beat these teams.
Yeah,
like do you think that if Santa Clara gets hot and, you know, let's just look at their schedule. I mean, they have San Francisco twice.
They're not getting in. No.
I mean, I'm not saying they're going to get in, but okay. I mean, BYU once, Gonzaga once, like, there's a chance that this Santa Clara team, you think, could play spoiler here.
Yeah, they have San Francisco twice, and they have BYU. You're going to have to win two out of those three games and win every single other game and then play tough against Gonzaga if you want to have a shot. And, I mean, they're a team that they could win the West Coast Conference tournament. They're probably going to be the 5 seed, if we're being real, or a 4. And that would mean you're going to have to get through Gonzaga. That you want to be on that 2 or 3 line and hope that out of the 4 or the 5 seed can knock off Gonzaga and you can get yourself in for sure. But, I mean, I think that if you're a 2 or a 3 seed in this conference, you're also probably going to have a chance to get an automatic – or not an automatic, an at-large bid.
Yeah, and this is really going to be the point where seeding becomes so crucial in a conference tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the difference between – pretty much ensuring you're playing good games in your entire time in the conference tournament and having to face a landmine in your first game could very well be where you are seated. And that's why conference play is so important, not just for your resume, but in conferences like this and in the Mountain West, it's about how many landmines you can avoid. And that is so critical for really both of these particular conferences that we're discussing here in our after party episode. In that you really have to play with the regular season to earn that right to not have to have a landmine in March. And that will be a big, big deciding factor within all of this for both of these conferences. And as much as we may love these both of these conferences, at some point, the dream's going to die probably for at least one of these conferences, if not both, of having four bids, all four of your really quality teams getting in. So I'm going to ask you this. Which conference do you think is more positioned to get the four bids, the Mountain West or the West Coast Conference?
I would say West Coast Conference. I mean, like, if we look at Santa Clara, if you look at all four of these teams, I mean, we all know Gonzaga's going to get in there. And then most likely BYU is going to get in there. And then we have St. Mary's and San Francisco, and then Santa Clara on the outside looking in. And we've talked about last few minutes, like, St. Mary's and San Francisco are playing this Thursday. Big game. And then Santa Clara, if they pick up a win, or like we said, if they go on a run in the conference tournament, that could allow a way for a fourth team getting in.
Yeah, I'd go with the West Coast Conference, too. I mean, I think they just have more teams that are surely going to get in. So I'd go with the West Coast.
I'm going to go with the West Coast as well. And looking at Gonzaga's schedule, all three of the teams in question, BYU, San Francisco, and St. Mary's, have a game against Gonzaga. And the Mountain West doesn't have that automatic, surefire quad one opportunity. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, looking at where things stand right now, if Colorado State falls out of the top 30, Wyoming stays out of the top 30, you don't have a quad one home game against these quality teams to hang your hat on if you get that opportunity. That's a huge, huge deal. So I really believe that the West Coast Conference has that ticket. It's Gonzaga. And BYU is going to get Gonzaga at home. San Francisco is going to get Gonzaga at home. St. Mary's is going to get Gonzaga at home. All three of those teams have that home opportunity against Gonzaga, a surefire quad one game. The question is, do you step up or do you not? And for San Francisco and St. Mary's, on February 24 and 26, the final weekend of the West Coast Conference regular season, that could be a huge one. Mm-hmm. And it might be one we're discussing at that point in the time of the year of saying, that could be a game that could get you the at-large ticket, no matter what happens the rest of the way. But both of those conferences are going to be very fun to watch. And also, some of those teams could be sweating it out as well as bids become stolen, you know, in some of these conferences. We talked about it in our main show. The Pac-12 and the ACC has that potential to be bid stealers. The A-10 tournament's always wild and filled with something. And the Big East had a bid stealer last year.
And some of these other teams that we've talked about, Santa Clara, the other teams from the Mountain West, going back to it, they could maybe jump in, have a good tournament, and steal some bids too. So the best way to make the NCAA tournament is to win your three or your two games in your conference tournament. That's the best way. Mm-hmm. So just got to go out and do that. Obviously, put yourself in a position where you don't have to, but that's the easiest way.
Yeah, and that's going to be such a fun conversation down the line. But that will do it for this after party on the College Basketball Bonanza. Be sure to join us on Sunday at blazevideoonline.com, 7 p.m. Arizona time, for a full edition of the Bonanza. And if you want to listen to this past Sunday's full edition of the Bonanza, all you got to do is click on the next episode on your podcast platform and you're on your way. For Don Continue, Don Minister, I'm Nicholas Hodel. Thank you so much for listening to this College Basketball Bonanza after party. And we will see you very, very soon.